I want to thank y'all for coming out tonight. Title tonight is, Sir, We Wish to See Jesus. Comes from John 12. We'll be reading from pages 112 and 113 in the little book there. Be verses 12 through 21, page 112 and 113. Verse 12 says, The next day a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. You know, you can call it simple, you can call it basic, you can even call it elementary. But I call it the greatest theme of the Bible. If I can see Jesus, then I can see what I'm supposed to be. Jesus came to Jerusalem, and much people followed him with palm branches crying, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of our Lord. Listen to what it said. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip and desired him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. See, there's people at the feast. And just like the church, just like church every Sunday, there's people that come. And there's different groups, those who are spectators, and we have those who are hypocrites and skeptics and doubters and scoffers. But in the midst of that same congregation, there are a few select people who came and who continue to come for one reason, and that's to worship Jesus. Amen. See, they didn't come to speculate, and they don't come to criticize, and they don't come to impress anybody with their new hat and maybe a new suit and new pair of shoes and or maybe they got a new ring or something, you know, but or new dress. They come to worship. Is there anybody here tonight that just come to see Jesus? Is there anybody who just came to glorify God tonight? We can do that in spirit and truth. I just want to see Jesus. You know, these Greeks came to worship, and they knew if they were really going to worship Jesus, they needed to see Him. Now, how do we see Him? We see Him through His Word. We see Him through His Word. If we're really going to see Jesus, we need to open up His Word. In recent days, these scriptures have brought great conviction to my soul as well as the church. And I myself, as a teacher of the gospel, I believe some of us in ministry have failed to a large degree to present to the world the Jesus of the Bible. I think we've allowed other things to creep in and distract us and to pull our attention away from the main thing. We've preached organizations and denominations, and we've preached religion and traditions and even regulations, you know, but we have preached God's blessing plan. You know, you can go to most any church and there's 8 steps to a breakthrough and 7 keys to your miracle, and I'm including myself in this. And my concern today is this, that we have preached the Bible so well, but we failed to preach Jesus of the Bible. See, we need to preach the Word of God that we'll know the God of the Word. Somehow Jesus has gotten covered up by our doctrines and our beliefs and our principles. And we've gotten so captivated with the privilege and blessings of being a child of God that we've forgotten or at least misplaced the Jesus of the Bible. And there is today, as there was In the days of the Bible, a cry from the human heart. And we want to see Jesus. If you want to see change in the hearts of men and women, they better see Jesus. And the only way to do that is, like we said, to open up His Word and to get inside. You know, when explanation of the Bible and study and becoming mature as Christians, when it was first spoke of, it was talking about milk. But it said that a maturing Christian would not desire to stay and be satisfied with just milk, that they would need to move to the meat. That's us today, my friend. Now, there's, you know, I love my church, and I believe a lot of the doctrines and the teachings of my church, and I believe that godly traditions and practices of the church, but we must never forget that the head of the church is a living person, the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We can never forget that part. It's not religion or traditions or doctrines that saves the lost, heals the sick, or sets the captives free. It's the living Savior that does that. He's the Savior. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. And He's the baptizer in the mighty Holy Spirit and power. And I believe it's a crying shame that so many of us in this day and age have lost sight of that Jesus. But even worse than that is the fact that many of us don't realize that we've lost that vision, the vision of just who Jesus is. And even worse yet is that many of us allow other things to displace that vision. And they would rather have religion than Jesus. And they would rather have traditions than Jesus. And they'd rather have blessings than Jesus. But let me tell you, the only place they're going to come from is Jesus.
That's right.
Amen? It's amazing how many people want prosperity, but they don't want Jesus involved in it. And they want healing, but they don't want to turn to Jesus for it. And they want power, but they don't want to turn to Jesus for it. And they want peace, but they can't find it because they don't have Jesus in it. But the only place any of that will ever exist is in the person of Jesus Christ. So let me tell you, if we want to see great revival in the body of Christ, we're going to have a heart cry of the church that says, "Sir, I want to see Jesus." See, when the church can no longer be satisfied or pacified with anything less than a fresh vision in the presence of Jesus, it's then and only then that revival will come for this nation. See, around the world, churches today are shutting down and locking their doors. We see it in so many different ways. We say it's the economy sometimes that gets in there, and it's budgets and it's shortfalls, and it's cutbacks, but the Scripture says that we perish for lack of knowledge, but we also perish for lack of vision. We lose our focus. We can blame it on all those things, but let me tell you, the Jesus I worship owns the cattle. Amen?
Amen.
Of how many hills?
Thousand.
A thousand hills. Organizations are dying and people are leaving the churches and going to new organizations or going to new age or cult practices and sinful lifestyles. And the problem is we have sin that creeps in there. Let me tell you something about sin. When sin enters into our lives, it interferes with my relationship with God and my ability to see things as they truly are. When sin comes into my life, it muddies up the water. It's kind of like a cloud. We'll come out on a cloudy day like today and we'll say, "Well, the sun's not shining." Truth of the matter is, the sun is shining. It's just there's something blocking it from where we're at. Trust me, I've flown airplanes. I've been on top of those clouds before. And it's just as beautiful as it could ever possibly be. Sun's still shining. It's just that at that point, there's nothing blocking it. But when we get sin in our life, it blocks light. Turn to 1 John 1:7. This is what it says. "But if we walk in the light, as He is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That sin puts a cloud over us. And the only way to take care of that is to carry it to a higher source. Now, let me tell you something about weather. When I was doing all my flying, I had to do a lot of studying about weather. You may know this, you may not, but low pressure areas are generally associated with cloudy weather and bad weather in general. Okay, low pressure areas. Think about low pressure now. Think about the low part of it. Who's over sin? Who's the one that infiltrates our lives with sin? Satan from a low area, isn't he? Now, the only thing that'll get rid of that is a high pressure area. It's the only thing that'll do away with cloudy weather, with bad weather. The only thing that'll do away with it is a high pressure area. Now, where do you think that high pressure comes from? Where do you think that sin goes? The only one that can take care of it is God. We carry our petitions to Christ. It says He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus said, "But if I be lifted up from earth, I will draw all men unto me." He didn't say lift up your church or your denomination or your organizations or your doctrine. He says, lift me up and I'll draw all men unto me. He didn't say lift up your religion or your traditions or your philosophies either. He said, lift me up. Talk about me. Witness about me. Preach about me. Teach about me. Let me be in your testimony. Let me live in your preaching. Let me live in your singing. Let me live in your let me be your main attraction. Let me be the reason that you gather together when I draw men unto me. And churches won't die when we do that. Amen?
That's right.
But they'll come alive with a resurrected power, the same resurrected power that brought about peace. Churches won't empty out, but they'll fill up with hungry and thirsty, broken, hurting, and needy people. See, our focus should be, we want to see Jesus. We need to see Jesus. We ought to demand to see Jesus. If you go to a service or you go to a meeting, a camp meeting or whatever, and Jesus isn't presented, you're in the wrong place, my brother.
That's right. Amen.
You need to get up, shake off the dust, and leave. I need to feel His presence in my life, I tell you. Don't tell me about Him. Don't show me the pictures of Him. Take me to Him. I need to meet Him face to face. That ought to be our cry to our churches. Pastor, take me to Him. Preacher, take me to Him. Evangelist, take me to Him. Christian friend and brother, take me to Him.
Amen.
I've got to see Him. Mm-hmm. I've got to have that touch. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing that will make a difference in my life is the touch of Jesus Christ. We want to take a soul who is lost and see them found, we have to take them to Jesus. I believe that there should be great numbers in the church under conviction as to why we have failed in our mission. I believe we should look at our missions with new eyes that have a focus for Jesus. Let's forget about the committees. There's enough committees out there. We can vote on those things later, okay? Let's get back to the meat of the matter. Paul was a highly educated man, and he was deeply spiritual as well, but with all of his wisdom and his knowledge and his spiritual experience, he determined to hold himself to preaching of Christ. And he determined that he would hold himself to the preaching, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus and Him coming to rule and reign in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 1, 16 and 17, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power." You hear that? It is the power of God unto the salvation to everyone that believeth. First to the Jew and also to the Greek. For therein the gospel of Christ is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "The just shall live by what?
Faith.
See, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's called sozo. This salvation is all-inclusive. It is healing for the body and deliverance for the bound and peace and prosperity and wholeness. And we need the gospel not just to get saved, but also for our everyday life. You can't just accept Christ and think, okay, I'm in, I'm done. We got a lot of people that think that. It's just the beginning. The gospel of Christ is the life that He lived, the death He died. It's the victory over Satan's kingdom. It's the resurrection and the ascension to the right hand of the Father. It's the coming back to reign through the power of the Holy Spirit in everyone who believes. No place in the Bible do we find Christ more fully revealed than in the four Gospels. If you want to learn about Jesus, if you want to meet Him face to face, then go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I would encourage you to start with John if you want to meet Him face to face. We must present to the world the church of Jesus, the Jesus in the Bible. See, the Jesus of mercy and compassion who cast out devils, who heals the sick and cleans the lepers and raises the dead and works miracles and signs and wonders. See, in many churches today we're told that there's no such thing as demons and devils. Well, let me tell you, it's a lie. It's a lie. Don't you be deceived. We're even told that miracles and signs and wonders are just for the early church and that they no longer are needed today. And that too, my friend, is a lie. I'm here to tell you tonight, Satan is a liar. Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If it was applicable to their lives then, it is today as well. Nothing's changed. The only thing that's changed is our lack of focus, our lack of attention to detail. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. In 1 John 3:8 it says, for the purpose of the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In Matthew 16:15 through 18 says the first sign that would follow this his true believer was, in my name they shall cast out devils. Then he said, they shall speak in new tongues. It goes on and on. And when a sinner sees him dying on the cross and for his or her sins, and he or she accepts Christ on that cross for their sin debt, new life begins. When the sick and the afflicted see him at the whipping post, taking those stripes for their healing and deliverance, and they recognize that Jesus suffered in their place, and that he took their sickness and their disease, and he carried their sorrows, and he accepted that, then they will be healed. When the believer sees Jesus raised from the dead, having put their sins away and coming to live in them through the power of the Holy Spirit, then they will enter into the blessings and the benefits of Christian life. See, I believe in church doctrines based on standing on the Word of God. I believe in divine healing, and I believe in prosperity, and I believe in the church as a divine institution ordained by God. I believe in marriage as being ordained by God. But my primary mission and my commission and your commission is to carry Jesus to every soul out here. Gospel means the good news, but if we take Jesus out of the preaching, there is no good news left. See, without Jesus in our singing, our preaching, and our teaching, there is no gospel. The world is dying to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I talked to a missionary driver I got earlier tonight, and he was talking about how he's running across people out there that are literally starving for Jesus. Why is that? How did this happen? Where did we go wrong? We got big, fine, fancy churches out there. And if you drive by them, most of them are closed all but 2 days a week. We don't see Jesus as we should. We see him through a fog or a mist or a veil, or religion has spread over our eyes. And Paul and many of God's people have the scales of their eyes, and they couldn't see Jesus. But how can we see him again? And would you like to see him? We must hear the Bible preached again in a way that sets Jesus forth as the center attraction. See, I don't know about you, but he's my Savior. He's my healer, and he's my deliverer, and my miracle worker, and he's my friend, and my great intercessor. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, the mighty God, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, day star from on high, and the bread of life. He's my shelter in the storm, and he's the Lion, and he is my Lamb. See, one songwriter put it like this. He said, he is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. His name is Jesus. See, we have an answer to every problem in the world, in the church, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus is the answer. And the human heart is crying out for him. So who's going to take the blind sinner by the hand and lead him to Jesus, the Savior? And who's going to take the sick and the suffering and the bound and oppressed and lead them to Jesus, the healer and deliverer and miracle worker? See, it's those who have Jesus. It's those who have seen Jesus. The disciples begin to tell Jesus what they heard others talk about him. And check, it says, but Jesus would not and will not settle for second in any situation. He requires that we know him personally. You remember he pressed his disciples. He says, who do the people say that I am? And they kind of just brushed it off for a bit. But then he came back and he pressed them again. And he said, who do they say that I am? We can't build ourselves on secondhand information. Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. See, Peter was blessed because he had a revelation of Jesus. He had met Jesus face to face. Illustration, one night a house caught fire and the family made it out, all but one young son. And he was up on the roof and the flames were reaching and the smoke was all over him. And his dad is down below and his dad can see him plainly, but the son with all the smoke and the flames around him couldn't see him. And his dad was hauling up to him. He says, just jump, son, jump. He said, but Dad, I can't see you. Can't see you. He says, you don't have to. I see you. Trust in me and jump. I've got you. That's the message that this world needs, my friends.
It is.
Trust. Trust in me and jump. I've got you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you abandoned anywhere. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. You know, there's a little boy. He's lost in the woods. And he'd wandered away. And it was raining. It was storming. Lightning was popping everywhere. The sound of the thunder was deafening. And he's lost out there. And all he can think is, if I could just get home. I just want to be home. And he's out there in those woods. And he can't figure his way back. He's scared to death. And off in the distance, he sees a lantern. And it's coming his way. It gets closer and closer, nearer and nearer. And then he realizes that it's his father. See, his father said, son, I knew you'd gotten lost out here and I thought you might be afraid. So I come to get you. Now his father took his hand. The lightning was still going. The thunder was still popping. The rain was still coming. But the tears were no longer there. The father had more than just his hand. Father had hope, had peace, had understanding. Had love. It wasn't just the hand. It was all that came with it. You see, we missed that point. There's so much more to Jesus than just a billboard here or there. Just like Peter was blessed because he had a revelation with Jesus. When we lift up our eyes and we get a revelation of Jesus, we can be healed. And we can be delivered. And we can receive everything Jesus accomplished through his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And his living and reigning on earth. There was a missionary. He was trying to translate. He'd gotten with this group of people. And it was in a foreign country. And he was trying to translate the Gospel of John. But he was having problems with the language. And he couldn't find a word in their language for the word believe. Do you have any idea how many times the word believe is in the book of John? He couldn't find a word in their religion. Well, one day, one of the workers comes into his house and his worker had been out in the field all day working, hot and sweaty and tired. And he came in and he sat down in the chair in the missionary's house and he just kind of plopped down in the chair and he used a word in their language, which was from, I'm putting all of my weight on this chair. A word used in his language that meant, I'm unable to hold myself up. Immediately the missionary jumped up and said, that's it. That's the word I need. And I got to thinking about it afterwards. Was he right? Was he right when he said that? Now, I believe so. Faith means placing our entire weight, our entire hope on Jesus Christ. You know, when you came in here and you sat down in these chairs, you didn't, at least I don't think you looked at them first to see if they'd hold you up. Did you? I think you just kind of came in and probably plopped down. I know I did. Why was that? Kind of reminds me of an old story I had. It was a SWAT team, and I believe it was New York where this incident took place. And they had gone to this house. They knew they were going to be met with strong opposition. And as they got to the house, they started putting on their body armor, and they knew that they were going to be met with small arm fire. And So they strap on their body armor and they go up to that door, and sure enough, they're met with arms fire, and the ones in the front got hit, and they had to drag them out of the way, and the others kept going, and they managed to take that house. But this is the thing. I was with law enforcement quite a few years back. You can strap on a vest, a bulletproof vest. Now, I'd seen pictures, I'd seen video, and I'd had all kind of training in this thing. But let me tell you, that builds trust, but until you walk into a hail of bullets with it, it stays at that level. Once you do that, it becomes faith. You know that you know that you know. Let me ask you something. Can you say that about your present condition with Christ? Can you walk out of here tonight with confidence that I know, that I know, that I know, that I belong to Christ and He belongs to me? If there's any question in your life, you need to fix it now. Let me tell you, there was, in this storm that just took place up there, there are individuals, at least one, that ain't getting any more chances. The time for chances is gone. The time for those opportunities is gone. There's some that's got some second chances. You're not guaranteed to make it to wherever it is you're going from here. You better take care of it now. Don't leave here not sure. I told you earlier what sin does to us. I told you also in 1 John 1:9 that He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All we have to do is confess. Confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and we shall be saved. You shall be saved. We're going to close tonight with a prayer of salvation. Now, I don't know where you're at in your walk, so we pray this prayer out loud as to encourage the person beside you. Maybe you haven't been living up to your full potential for your Savior. Maybe there's more that you got that you can offer. Maybe it's time to shift into a higher gear. Are you truly giving it all? Are you truly sold out? Or are you just going through some of the motions? Let me tell you, He'll see right through. He sees the heart of the matter. There will be no imposters in heaven. There will be no impersonators. Only those that truly belong to Him will remain. The rest will be purged by fire. Let's take care of that. Father God, I come to You tonight.
I come to You tonight.
Asking for forgiveness.
Asking for forgiveness.
Offering myself to You.
Offering myself to You.
I ask, Lord, that You'll come into my heart.
I ask, Lord, that You'll come into my heart.
And live in me.
And live in me.
Forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
Father, I ask that You will continue to stay with me.
Father, I ask that You continue to stay with me.
That You will lead me.
You will lead me.
Guide me and direct me.
Guide me and direct me.
Help me to be.
Help me to be.
A better Christian.
A better Christian.
And help my service to be.
Help my service to be.
Fully to You.
Fully to You.
Amen.
Amen.